In Advent, that time we celebrate the two comings. The first is the baby in the manger at Christmas, and the second is the end of time when the conquering king comes, the delivering king. Our theme this Sunday of Advent is love, God's love. And as I reflected on what to say about love, it struck me that often our understanding of love is pretty shallow, pretty much one-dimensional. A year or so ago, there were some beer commercials that had two guys drinking beer together, and one turned to the other and he said, "I love you, man." Is that love? A couple living together with little or no ties to each other, no real commitment. Is that love? Adopting an "I'm okay, you're okay" kind of an attitude that acceptingly tolerates about any behavior. Is that love? You know, the popular notion of love today finds its basis in the world rather than in God. When we look at the world's view of love, it begins and it ends with something that we do. Now, I've preached on love as something we do. There's a doing component to love, for sure. But I want us to reflect a moment on the legitimate source of love. Because when we disengage ourselves from the source, what dribbles out the other end is not really love. We may call it love, but it isn't really love. For example, we give Christmas presents because we love. We have parties and gatherings because we love. And this is all fine and good until you realize that Christmas isn't about presents. Christmas isn't all about parties. Christmas isn't all about family gatherings, as good as those are. Christmas is first and foremost all about God. All about God. About how God so loves this world. About how God so loves you and me. About how God so loves and lives in us in this world. And when we get away from that truth, the celebration is distorted. It's not true. The Bible teaches us over and over again, in fact, in this one little chapter, about three times, it's reiterated that God is love. Not that God does love, but God is love. In other words, it's his essence. It's who he is. It's his being. Real love has to start right there. It has to start with that core being. It has to start in the soul. And then everything else emanates from that. And that would make every act of God an act of love. Not because we agree with it, not because it seems good, not because it appears fair or even just, but simply because it's an act of God who is love. To better understand, go back to where God first loved us, back to the very beginning. Based on the truth that God is love, the act of creation is an act of love. God so loved the world that he created it. God so loves you and me that he created us. He fashioned us. He made us, as the Bible says, into his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male, female, he created them. And then in Genesis 1, it goes on to say that God created us from the dust of the ground and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. Think about it. God, who needs nothing, acted out of his own being and created you and me. Why? Why would he do that? So that he could have companionship, you think? No. So that he could have someone to worship him? No. Obey him? Hardly. You see, God doesn't need anything. Would it shock you for me to say that God created us for us? There are no ulterior motives, no hidden conditions. He created you and me just because he wanted to. He created because he wanted us to know life. He created us because he wanted us to know love. He wanted to make something that emanated from his being, which is love. And he pronounced over it all that it was very good. God so loves you and God so loves me that he created us. He gave us existence so that we would someday know love. We weren't created knowing love. We were created with the capacity to know love. Someday we would know love. The second part of that same story, God so loves you and me that he came into our world. He not only created us, then he came into the world in which we live. Paul best described it in Philippians 2, who being in the very nature of God didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. As with creation, we should also ask why. Why would God come into our world as a man? Why would he become incarnate? The reason has to do with our soul, doesn't it? Remember back in Genesis, when God loved us into existence and he made us into his image? That word image most often is thought to believe to mean immortal. We were made to have an immortal soul. We are immortal beings. Oh, we'll die from this life, but we'll live forever somewhere. Somewhere. Now, being made in the image of God doesn't make us God. Adam and Eve figured that out pretty quick. But having an immortal soul, immortal spirit, means that we have something that no other part of creation has. See, we're not like the animals and other parts of creation. They don't have a soul. They don't have a spirit. They're not fashioned in the image of God. And you are. And I am. We have that unique gift given to us. Having that immortal soul makes us special. We in all of creation, out of all of creation, are most like God. Who, according to Jesus in John 4, the chapter, in John 4, the gospel, is a spirit. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus teaching the woman at the well. He went on to say, we know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. His spirit. Thus Jesus, God, came into our world to make it possible for our spirit to connect with God's spirit, our soul to connect with God's soul, our image to be like His image. Maybe more precisely we'd say that He came into this world to replace our spirit with His Holy Spirit. Or as God said in Ezekiel 36, I will remove from your heart, from you the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. God so loves you and God so loves me that he came into our world. Indeed, He came into our soul so that we could know love. Never will it be our love. God didn't come into this world to teach us how to love. That's the world's way. You see, it will always be His presence in us that is love. His soul replacing our soul. His image replacing our distorted image. That's the focus behind John 1, 1 John 4. Because we love, because He first loved us. Probably that's the reason so much of us, of what is passed around in our world today for love is so hollow and materialistic and temporary. Because God alone is love, and there isn't a lot of God around sometimes. You can't love outside of God, outside of Him. Everything that we pass along as love, that we maybe call love, is just simply counterfeit. The final part of this story is that God so loves us that He gives us eternity with us, with Him. John 3:16 probably said it best, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The key word there is not eternal. The key word there is life. We already have eternity. But with the Spirit of God in us, with that new heart of flesh, we can have life. We can be with Him. And we can know the love that is God. John says in 1:4 in his gospel, in Him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of men. One day God's going to call us from this physical life into eternity. Whether it be our homecoming or the second coming, that advent is as certain as anything could be. What happens to us is that in that moment all depends on what abides, or maybe we should say who abides at the core of our being. What is in your soul? What is in your spirit? Is it ourself? Is it the world? Or is it the love that is God? Don't let yourself get caught up in the language of the day, in the norms of the day, seeking to fit God into the mold of the world. Those who demand why the God of love would allow disease and sickness and suffering. You know, those who demand why the God of love would allow anyone to perish. Those who demand why a God of love wouldn't just tolerate everyone and accept any view. Those who would throw around the concept of love as if it were something totally independent of God. They don't know the God of love. Instead, let the one who is love open your heart, your soul, to receive His love gift. Allow the one who created you in love to know love, be love in you. And then only then can the love that is God be in your Advent, be in your Christmas, Then and only then can the presents, the parties, the family gatherings have a meaning beyond just that temporary little moment. It's my prayer for all of us as we are able to share this true love with our families and with our friends this Christmas and beyond. Because there's only one love. Only one love. And that love is God. And He came into our world as a man, as Jesus. And He's shown us what that love looks like. And He's invited us to be love. Let's pray.